Joseph L. Bobby Jr. presiding. All who have business before this court, draw near, and you will be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good afternoon. My name is Judge Falvey. To my right is Judge Michael Allen, and to my left, Judge Scott Lauer. We're convened today at the University of Notre Dame Law School to consider arguments in the matter of Gary Dean Jackson versus Dennis McDonough, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, case number 22-3042. Will counsel, beginning with appellant's counsel, please enter your appearance for the record.
If this court can depart from here, let Earl represent Mr. Jackson.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Alex Kikoli and Nick Esserman, Secretary of Veterans Affairs.
Mr. Carpenter, would appellant's counsel like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
10 minutes.
10 minutes, we'll make that happen. If counsel is ready, we'll go ahead and proceed when you're ready to go.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court, Kenneth Carpenter appearing on behalf of Mr. Gary Jackson. This court has issued an order on October the 6th, 2023, indicating that it is most interested in hearing from the parties concerning how the VA must consider the use of medication when rating diabetes under 38 CFR 4.119, Diagnostic Code 7913. I think the simple answer is that it is impossible to discern that from the plain language of the regulation. It is Mr. Jackson's view that the fair reading of this regulation would indicate that the regulation does not, in fact, address how medication is to be considered. Medication is referenced in two places in the diagnostic code. In the first instance, it is referenced just once at the rating level of 20%, which is what Mr. Jackson has for his service-connected diabetes. At that level, the rating criteria indicates in the alternative requiring one or more daily injections of insulin and a restricted diet, or manual hypoglycemic agent and a restricted diet. It says nothing more than that. What it does not say and does not indicate in any particular manner or means is whether or not the ameliorative effects of that medication are to be taken into consideration when making the rating.
Work with me on an example now, right? So the 10% level would be that the diabetes is manageable by restricted diet alone, right? Okay. So what I'm trying to wrestle with is if we have to then, quote, discount medication, how would that work at the next level, which the first section before the or, right, says requiring one or more injections of insulin daily and restricted diet, right? So we've added the insulin
to
the 10% level, right?
Correct.
So what does it mean to then, back out the medication use? I mean, that's the thing that moves you from 10 to 20. And then what do we do?
Well, I think if the diagnostic requirements are read in their entirety, clearly the authors of the regulation, the secretary, decided that once medication was part of the equation, that from that point, the regulation would build upon additional symptoms beyond the restricted diet. And in that context, each of the diagnostic code steps from 20 to 40 to 60 to 100 are now successive. Each one of them has the requirement of one or more daily injections of insulin. What is obscure in this regulation and most difficult, I think, and a challenge for this court to evaluate is exactly what happens to the alternative option of oral hypoglycemic agent. Does that mean oral hypoglycemic agents are not considered in the succeeding ratings? That would seem to be fundamentally unfair, and nothing in the text of the diagnostic code gives any indication one way or the other.
So, no, so is your point basically, and I agree, that's a weird part of this, but let's just put that weirdness aside. Let's just stick with insulin. We'll be here, our happy insulin world here. And so your position would be, if we have a situation where somebody only is has diabetes, but it's manageable by restricted diet alone, we're at 10%. We're on the same page?
Correct.
Okay. Now we have the same person, and they require one daily injection of insulin and restricted diet.
Correct.
Okay. So your position would be that person, tell me if this is your position, that that person then meets the 20% level for sure.
Yes.
But now what we do is we say we have to get a medical opinion to say, pretend that person wasn't taking a daily dose of insulin. What would his or her diabetes picture look like to see if they'd be higher? Let me tell you what the thing I'm setting this up against, right? Because I can wrap my head around this. Assume we had a diagnostic code that measured the range of movement from your shoulder, and you were going to be rated by how much range of motion you had. And it said nothing at all about medication. And the person was medicated at the time of the exam, and so they had really good range of motion. I could understand the argument that, well, no. What we got to do is figure out what would that range of motion look like without the medication, right? I'm trying to figure out how is that example, how does that work with diabetes?
I don't think it can work with diabetes. And the reason for that is that the diagnostic code itself factors in the use of medication as a continuum at each succeeding rating. And what is clear from this regulation is that it then adds on additional symptomatology. In the 10% rating, there was no medication. It was managed by dietary restrictions alone. That guarantees or assures the veteran the assignment of a 10% rating. When the veteran is required to take medication, you then evaluate based upon the combination of taking medication as a constant and the descriptive symptoms that are outlined in the diagnostic code.
But would the board then have to, again, let's just leave aside the hypoglycemic agent. Okay. So you start out manageable by restricted diet, 10% alone. You add on one daily dose of insulin and you still have the restricted diet. You're at 20.
Correct.
So what I'm trying to figure out is what then is the error that Mr. Jackson puts into that assignment of a 20% rating? Are you saying that what we need to do is say, because the next one up, the 40%, just for everybody in the crowd, there isn't a 30% that jumped from 20 to 40, adds regulation of activity.
It does.
So would you be saying that what the agency would need to do is say, okay, you've got the injection and the restricted diet, so you're clearly at 20. What we need to do is say, if you weren't taking that medication, would you also then have to have a regulation of activity because of the nature of your symptoms?
No, Your Honor, I don't think you can write out the taking of the medication.
No, then what's the problem? If you're taking the medication, you have a restricted diet, mm-hmm. but you don't have a regulation of activity.
Well, the question is, do you have a regulation of activities? And as this court has observed many, many times, VA regulations, more often than not, do not define critical terms. There is no question that regulation of activities is a critical term in this case. No one has any idea what that means. Yet, In order to move from the 20% rating to the 40% rating, there must be evidence of the regulation of activities.
But that argument, let's credit that, okay? That argument has nothing to do with this idea about contemplating the ameliorative effects of.
It does not, Your Honor. And frankly, that's how I began the argument. I do not believe that this case and the rule of law created by this court in Jones has anything whatsoever to do with this regulation. Because as this court said in Jones, in order to deal with the ameliorative effects, it must be explicitly contemplated. At best, this is inferentially contemplated. And as your examples indicate, we don't know for sure what to do with the requirement of insulin. What is that supposed to mean? Is it a either or? You either have insulin or you don't. If you don't, you can't get above the 10% rating.
So this seems to be a little different argument than what was briefed, at least as I'm following it.
I'm trying to respond, frankly, Your Honor, to the court's interest in this. The point in the argument made in the briefing was quite different than this.
Well, you seem to be saying now that the regulation is ambiguous, right? I mean, this is a regulatory interpretation case, right? So are you saying the regulation is ambiguous?
It is certainly ambiguous to the extent that there is no definition of the term or phrase regulation of activity.
Well, you also said that the regulation was obscure, I think was your word. Yes. And to me, that sounds a lot like ambiguous.
And I'm not disagreeing that it's ambiguous, Your Honor. I'm simply saying that it is ambiguous because there is no definition. And what this court has said, when there is no definition in the regulation, then it's incumbent upon the board to do that which the board did not do in this case, is to inform this court through its reasons or bases how it defined regulation of activities. And it didn't do that. The attack made by Mr. Jackson in his opening brief was that there was an inadequate statement of the required reasons or bases for why he didn't get the higher rating. I would also direct the court's attention to RBA page 10 of the board's decision, in which there is only a single paragraph, and within that paragraph, only one sentence that addresses it, saying only that during the veteran's July 20 examination, the examiner found that the veteran's diabetes required management via the use of restricted diet and oral hypoglycemic agent, but no regulation of activities. That's it.
So you're now making a reasons or bases argument.
That was the argument that was presented in the opening brief, Your Honor. It was the government that came back in its responsive brief and suggested that somehow the board gets a pass because the regulation contemplates the use of medication. It doesn't contemplate the use. It says you have to have
it sounds like
the
it requires
medication.
It, right?
Sorry?
It sounds like it's required.
It's absolutely required.
And each rating level is successive, building on the lower ratings.
For the purpose of assigning the next higher rating, that would be true, Your Honor. But what is not true is that the requirement of insulin changes in any way. It's the same requirement at 20% as it is at 100%.
So on that, I just want to, and I understand that you did not write the brief, right?
So that's correct, Your Honor.
I know. We're having flashbacks to another case a couple months ago. Birdie, I think it was. So I just want to get your reaction about whether this is the position that is being asserted today. I'm just going to read you one thing. This is from page 18 and 19 of the opening brief. Mm-hmm. And again, you did not write it. Thus, the holdings of Jones and Massey apply to ratings for diabetes under DC 7913. And it is a prejudicial error for the board to assign a rating for appellant's disability based on his diabetes symptoms as they existed when controlled by medication.
That was the assertion made in the opening brief, Your Honor. Then the VA filed a responsive brief that asserted somewhat the same thing, but in our view took it a step further. what I understand the opening brief to have been addressing is the fact that there was a disconnect between the language in the regulation and what was in the board's decision, and that that was the error that was asserted. And the error alleged, other than the recitation that you just made there, was in relationship to the inadequacy of the reasons or bases to understand why there wasn't a rating consideration for the next higher rating. All that exists in the decision is a declaratory statement that a rating higher than 20% is not warranted.
So, but you are not saying that as a matter of law, the board needed to figure out the diabetes symptoms as they existed in an uncontrolled state, are you?
I am not, sure.
Thank you.
And I see that I'm down to the last 5 minutes, and I understand that we're not going to go over that time period. But there are two other arguments that I would like to address, even if just briefly. And if the court would allow, I'd like to digress to address those quickly, because in candor to this court, those issues are far more compelling and dispositive of this appeal than this issue is.
Yeah, as we indicated in the Be Prepared to Discuss order, we're mostly interested in the diabetes argument and the ameliorative effects of medication. But please have at it.
I did have one question, if I may.
Oh, certainly.
Judge Poppe, and that is, what guidance, if any, can the court gleaned from the Federal Circuit's decision in Middleton related to not only the successive but the cumulative scheme that's set up under this diagnostic code? So, I mean, you're suggesting that we would not include the management piece of this when considering the appropriate rating under the diagnostic code?
To the the answer is yes. To the extent that the phrase used in each of the successive rating criteria is simply a requirement of a daily dosage or more of insulin, that is constant. It does not change. And therefore, in our view, it is unreasonable to consider it a management issue. It is a medical necessity that they have medication. In either form, insulin or the hypoglycemic agent, that is a constant. Our reading of the regulation would urge the court to view the hypoglycemic as simply another management by medication, but that the diabetic condition requires medication, period. Then it is the other symptoms. It is the restriction of the diet, the restriction of the activities, and then the successive ones where Middleton comes into play to describe this as a successive regulation. You can't get the lower rating, you can't get the next higher rating without the lower rating information being there. So quickly, if I quickly answered that question, the second issue is that we believe that the board clearly misapplied the diagnostic code 8521 when it rated Mr. Jackson's bilateral lower extremities diabetic peripheral neuropathy. The board did so in two ways. First, it used the wrong diagnostic code. The diagnostic code 8521 is for a, I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, I apologize, peroneal nerve, and the nerve involved in this case is the sciatic nerve.
Was that raised to the board? Was that wrong diagnostic code identified to the board?
Identified to the board? No.
Yeah.
Oh, the board.
A complaint to the VA, I'm being rated under the wrong diagnostic code.
No, Your Honor, but the board has an independent statutory obligation to consider all applicable provisions of law, and inherently to not consider inapplicable regulations. This is under the same regulation, but under a different diagnostic code. They chose the wrong diagnostic code. And the significance of that is that under the correct diagnostic code, there is a separate rating for, let me make sure I got the terminology correct. Well, no, I'm sorry, that's on the next argument. But here, it is the difference between which nerve is involved, and then the rating is under that diagnostic code, and those diagnostic codes are different. So the last question, I'm going to my last 1 minute. The board also erred by failing to recognize the inadequacy of the veterans or the VA's examination of July 2020 that the board relied upon in this case for all of the various conditions. But there were separate examinations for the separate areas. In this case, the record is clear that Mr. Jackson suffers from both neuritis and neuralgia. Neuritis and neuralgia are separate disabilities that are recognized within the diagnostic code and were never discussed in the exam, were never discussed by the board, and as a consequence, they only focused on the rating for the underlying condition under diagnostic code 8621. And they should have looked at it under 8721 as well. And I see that I'm out of my time. I'll try not to go over.
Thank you, Mr. Preference. We'll hear you from you in rebuttal. Mr. Cattrulli.
May it please the court. Your honors, the purpose of medication is to provide relief of a condition. So when medication is a factor in a diagnostic code, it contemplates the relief provided by that medication on the disability. That principle applies here to DC 7913 for two reasons. First, diagnostic code 7913 expressly contemplates the use of medication in the criteria and is consistent with Jones and McCarroll. Second, the text and history of DC 7913 demonstrate the plain and unambiguous intent of the secretary to rate diabetes based on the level of control provided by medication. So this appeal at its core is simply appellant's attempt to rewrite the secretary's regulation, which he cannot do.
Okay, so you'd agree it's a regulatory interpretation case, and there's nothing ambiguous about it.
I agree, Your Honor. There is nothing ambiguous.
So what canons of regulatory interpretation do you rely on to make that point?
The plain text and structure of the regulation, Your Honor. In fact, we don't have to look beyond the text and structure of this specific diagnostic code to discern the clear and the plain and unambiguous intent with the diagnostic code. In fact, if we look at the 10% rating criteria, it says the diabetes is manageable by restricted diet alone, meaning the body and the restricted diet alone can regulate and manage the disease on its own. Then once you move into the 20% rating criteria, it's clear that the body can no longer manage the disability, the disease on its own, and now requires medication to manage the same exact condition that it was previously capable of doing. And
if then that's not successful, let's add regulation of activities on top of it. If restricted diet doesn't do it, and we add insulin and it doesn't do it, let's try regulation of activities. These are all mechanisms, means of controlling the diabetes.
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, the types and frequency of treatment are essentially the measures of rating the severity of diabetes in this case. And as my friend here said during his argument, medication is referenced at every single level from 20% on. So there's no question that medication is contemplated within the rating criteria for diabetes. And not only is it contemplated, the terms require medication in the context of managing the symptoms demonstrates that that the diagnostic criteria does in fact contemplate the myriad effects on the disability. We need not look any further beyond the actual text of this regulation.
Okay, Mr. Carpenter made a point about the fact that regulation of activities is not defined. Anything up to that?
I disagree with that, Your Honor. In fact, it specifically says in the diagnostic criteria that it's avoidance of strenuous activities, strenuous occupational and sedentary activities. So I disagree that it's not defined. And that was actually one of the terms that in 1993, VA amended this specific diagnostic code after a 1988 GAO study found that the diabetes rating code was essentially outdated, and it amended the rating criteria to reflect advancements in medication and to eliminate subjective terms that had previously existed in the diagnostic code. And it did so because it found that these specific rating criteria that we have here, oral hypoglycemic agents, insulin, restriction of activities, and restricted diet are the most fair, reliable, and objective factors to rate a disability. And that's why they're present here, and that's why this diagnostic code does, in fact, contemplate the myriad effects of medication. And I do agree that Jones does not apply in this case because Jones dealt with a case that did not specifically mention medication anywhere in the criteria, and that was 7319, not to be confused with this case, 7913, and that pertained to irritable bowel syndrome. Nowhere in that diagnostic code did it mention medication, but this court analyzed diagnostic code 5025 for fibromyalgia and 6602 for asthma, and looking at both the plain language and the regulatory history of those regulations and diagnostic codes, and found that the secretary had evinced clear intent to contemplate the myriad effects of medication by including medication as a factor. And that's evidenced here as well, Your Honor. And this diagnostic code not only mentions medication, but also provides, I would argue, much clearer indication of intent to contemplate the myriad effects of medication, because it specifically says manage, which is a synonym of control. And variance in language has never been dispositive for this score. In fact, the differences between the diagnostic codes and for fibromyalgia 5025 and for bronchial asthma use different terms to describe the relief provided by medication. And that's obvious because different medications provide different reliefs or different forms of relief. They serve different purposes. And so the same language may not necessarily be used in the same diagnostic codes.
And so the secretary, your position is just full stop. This diagnostic code is unambiguous as far as the issues before us today, right?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, the only reason I ask is there's a brief part in your brief where it's unclear if you were making an argument or simply laying out generic law, where you talked about if the language is ambiguous, then the court has to defer to the agency's reasonable interpretation, and you cite Auer for that. But you're not pointing to anything that you are saying we should defer, because your point really is, you go on, I think, to say the regulation is unambiguous on this point. Is that right?
Our main point, Your Honor, is that this regulation is unambiguous. So we don't even have to get to Auer deference, because we only get to Auer deference if this court finds that the regulation is ambiguous as to the secretary's intent. But here, the language is clear and unambiguous as to the secretary's intent. But if the court does find that the regulation is ambiguous, as mentioned, in 1993, the secretary did amend this regulation, and it stated that that insulin and oral hypoglycemic agents, regulation of activities, and restricted diet were the most reliable factors for consideration in rating diabetes, and it specifically amended the criteria to account for that. because the prior criteria had provided too much subjective terms and inconsistent application of the diagnostic code. Since then, and then through the 1993 revisions, which were finalized in 1996 through the final rule, that is indicative of the Secretary's intent to provide an even clearer demonstration of what the Secretary wanted to do, and that was to rate diabetes based on the level of control that can be achieved by medication. So that's our deference generally requires the court to look at sort of three factors, Your Honor. I don't want to misspeak, so whether it's authoritative or the official position, I think we just touched on that, implicates substantial expertise. It does in this case, because the Secretary has the sole discretion to promulgate regulations that provide for the rating of disabilities. And we've utilized that expertise here to prepare this diagnostic code in conjunction and collaboration with medical experts based on those advancements. And so that element is also met. And then the third element is whether it reflects fair and considered judgment. We amended the diagnostic code following the 1988 GAO report to provide greater clarity of the Secretary's intent. And so beyond the language here, the amendments that we produce through the 1996 final rule demonstrates the Secretary's fair and considered judgment, Your Honor. So to the extent we get to our deference, we argue that it's the court should defer to the Secretary.
So it's fair to say that what your position is that as your main position is that, as Justice Kagan said in Kaiser, reconsidering our, right, that we first have to decide whether the regulation is genuinely ambiguous. And your position is it's not genuinely ambiguous. It's clear on its face.
It's not, Your Honor. And to quote my friend here, we can't write out the taking of medication from this diagnostic code. So there's no question that this diagnostic code contemplates the use and effects of medication. In fact, in Jones and then in McCarroll, the court held that the inclusion of medication in a diagnostic criteria is a contemplation of the mirrored effects of medication. So consistent with Jones and McCarroll, this court should extend those principles to diagnostic code 7913 and find that it does contemplate the mirrored effects of medication.
Mr. Catroli?
So yes, Your Honor.
In this diagnostic code, obviously, it's explicitly mentioned the medication. How can you explain sort of the inconsistency in the rating schedule overall, the use of the mention specifically of medication in some of the codes and the criteria for that, and then others are completely silent, understanding your argument, which is that in this case, it's all about managing or controlling the effects of the disease or the injury.
As mentioned, Your Honor, under 38 U.S.C. 1155, the Secretary has the sole authority to promulgate these regulations about rating disabilities. And the Secretary, through the disparate inclusion of medication language, as in 7913 for diabetes, specifically contemplated the use and effects of medication to be considered by VA when rating the disability in the instances where it is explicitly mentioned, whereas when it's not consistent with Jones, it is not contemplated, Your Honor. So this case is not like Jones because the diagnostic criteria specifically mentions medication and evinces the Secretary's clear intent to use that as a factor in evaluating diabetes.
Okay. So what authority do we have if we think, I think Judge Allen used the word, this is kind of weird. We think it's the diagnostic code's weird. What can we do about it?
Pursuant to the Federal Circuit's decision in Winter v. Principi, Your Honor, and pursuant to this court's jurisdiction in 7252, the court can't rewrite the Secretary's regulation. And the court doesn't have authority to essentially rewrite the regulation by, for example, as Judge Allen had inquired earlier, whether to contemplate these, how these symptoms might be in a different scenario. In fact, if we look at the diagnostic code, it's clear what factors are considered. And to do something else is to go outside the bounds of the rating criteria, which this court cannot do because it's limited by that. Whereas some of the other diagnostic codes that this court has considered in the past, for example, 6602, Your Honor, which pertains to asthma, that does provide for alternative criteria beyond what might be controlled by medication. In fact, in those, for asthma, it contemplates specific bronchodilator results, which are objective readings and can measure the severity of a disability. In this code, for diabetes, there are no alternative rating criteria that can be considered either by appellant or VA. And so we can't skirt essentially what the secretary has limited us by in this case.
To follow up in terms of, obviously this case is all about interpreting this regulation. Your argument, the secretary's argument, is that there's no ambiguity here. So there are no other canons that would help the court in interpreting this reference that would be applicable here?
No, there are others, Your Honor. For example, it would be mere surplusage to essentially write out the terms, you know, manage and require with in the context of medication. Or, for example, if we look at the 20% rating criteria, it contemplates not only insulin and restricted diet as one method of attaining the 20% rating criteria, but also an oral hypoglycemic and a restricted diet. So it provides for two different methods.
So I understand the connection here. So with respect to using the 20%, the criteria for 20%, so the surplusage canon, the required use of either the insulin or the hypoglycemic, oral hypoglycemic medication, the argument would be you can't write out the use of the medication along with the secondary criteria, the second criteria in that. And because you have successive and cumulative criteria throughout the diagnostic code, that that would prevent you from.
Precisely, Your Honor, because if we were to do that, if we were to, for example, if this court were to find that the diagnostic code simply asks whether someone is taking medication, that would write out that exact language that you just mentioned, Your Honor, in that it would make the specific choices by the secretary to provide for two different medication types to receive the rating. It would make that essentially purposeless and redundant, unnecessary. And moreover, Your Honor, I think to the point that you were making earlier about Middleton makes clear that these criteria are not only specific and structured in a specific way, but cumulative and successive, meaning they have to be what applies at the lower rung of the ladder also applies at the upper ends of the ladder. They are consumed by the upper ends of the ladder.
With one exception. The hypoglycemic agent mechanism for getting a rating, higher rating, drops after 20%.
That's true, Your Honor. Yes.
So if above 20%, you have to have insulin.
Precisely, Your Honor.
And does Mr. Jackson receive one or more injections of insulin?
No, he does not, Your Honor. As the board found,
most he can do is 20%.
Exactly, Your Honor. As the board found on page 10 through 11 of its decision, there's no evidence that Mr. Jackson has a requirement for insulin. And this issue came up in Middleton, Your Honor, where an appellant was taking, I think it was called Bieta injections, which he argued acted similar to insulin, but it was not insulin. And the court found that there are no alternative rating criteria or substitutes to the rating criteria provided by the secretary. It found that the similarity between Bieta and actual insulin were not enough. Because Bieta did not constitute insulin, the appellant did not qualify for the 40% rating criteria and therefore rejected the possibility of providing for substitutes or alternatives to satisfy the clear criteria set out by the secretary in this case, which is the heart of our argument, Your Honor, and why we argue that this the text of this diagnostic code is clear on its face, and this court does not need to reach the issue of our deference. But if it does, the court should so find that our position is entitled to substantial deference, Your Honor. And if there are no further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you.
I'd like to just briefly conclude, Your Honor. We respectfully ask this court find, consistent with Jones and Mercado, that the diagnostic code for DC 7913 contemplates the myriad effects of medication. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Catroli. Mr. Carpenter, you have your full rebuttal time.
The government's position appears to be that any time medication is referred to in a VA regulation, that it contemplates the use of that medication. Mr. Jackson doesn't have a problem with that. What Mr. Jackson has a problem with is a suggestion by the secretary that you get to take that a step further and that it is not necessary to describe the effects of that medication. That's what the Jones case was all about, the effects, the ameliorative effects of the use of medication and how that affects rating. The government is essentially saying to this panel that it gets a free pass because they said medication was required for every rating above 10%. But that isn't what the regulation says. What the regulation simply says is that you need to use some form of medication. Then the secretary says to this court that no, you can't get a rating if you're using oral medication because that's not mentioned in the reg. But it is mentioned in the reg as a viable alternative for the 20% rating. There is nothing to suggest in the language used above that that somehow this court or rating specialist should read out the use of agents, or at the very least.
Can I stop you there?
Yes.
So it seems that there what you're saying is we might have that seems to run up against Middleton, doesn't it?
Yes.
So even if I think Middleton is wrong, the Federal Circuit is the Federal Circuit, and I am me, right? So I follow,
there.
Right? Yes, yes. So we wouldn't have the ability to say that the hypoglycemic agent should be at the 40 and et cetera.
No, but what you would have the ability to do is to recognize that the board didn't address that question and to send it back and say, at court, the secretary asserted this position. We don't read the board's decision as ever having asserted that position. If that is, in fact, the secretary's position, then give us an adequate statement of reasons or bases for why it is. I am not suggesting that this panel has the right to rewrite this regulation. What I am suggesting is that the government has not demonstrated that the language used by the secretary as he wrote this regulation describes at all the effects of using medication. Because the plain text of this regulation says it's the added factors that justify the sequential successive increases in ratings. And those are the things that are required to be considered, and not simply the secretary stood before this court and said that the plain text controls. But he only talks to this court about the plain text in the first phrase of the successive regulations about the requirement of insulin. You must read the entire text of the regulation. He is asking this court to selectively read, as he selectively reads, his own regulation. I heard him repeatedly refer to management. I have looked at the diagnostic code that I have a copy of, and the only time management is used is in the form of manageable by diet for the 10% rating. The word manage or management does not appear in any of the other ratings.
So as I understood the Secretary's point on that, it was following on our decision, but also the Federal Circuit's affirmance in Martinez-Bowden, where we describe that the diagnostic code for mental disorders as being an upward cascading idea, the idea that something that established at a lower level sort of cascaded upward, separate from something being successive, which is much more Locke's sort of step. And so I understood the Secretary saying what the 10% level does is set the idea of the diagnostic code, which is it's all about the management of the diabetes. And then that cascaded up in the sense that it's managed by diet under one condition. It's managed by diet and something else on another, and diet and something else on another.
Except, Your Honor, that sort of flies in the face of the notion that this court can look only to the reference to insulin injections as controlling the rating. But insulin injections are not controlling the rating. What controls the rating is that you have to have medication and you have these other symptoms. That is the successive ratings. And those are the bases upon which Mr. Jackson was entitled to have his diabetes fairly evaluated.
So it seems to me, and I might be just missing the boat on this one, but it actually seems to me that don't balk at what I'm going to say. You and the Secretary appear to agree, and I understand that suggests I probably am wrong just by saying that, right? But in all seriousness, it seems like your positions are the same now than at least as I understood them in the opening brief, right? Because I read the opening brief, and again, I know you didn't write it. As I read the opening brief, it seemed to say the problem here is that nobody considered the symptoms that would exist for the diabetes if he wasn't taking medication. So in other words, the medication gives you the higher level, then you ignore the medication to see how bad the diabetes would be if he weren't taking the medication. It seems like that's not on the table right now, Ben.
Well, you know, part of the reason it's not on the table is that I don't see how that can be reconciled with the question that this court asked us to be prepared to address. And as I read this court's order, this court wanted discussion about the use of medication as described in the regulation. There is no such description. It simply says that it's happening, that you are in fact getting at least one injection. And the critical piece is that requirement does not change. There is no succession. It is verbatim, exactly the same at each successive rating, with the exception of the 10% rating.
And Mr. Jackson doesn't receive an injection of insulin.
No, he does not, Your Honor.
So and how do we get to a higher rating for him?
That's, with all due respect, Your Honor, not your job.
Well,
that was the job
of the board. How does the board get there?
Well, by examining what the regulation says and addressing the clear ambiguity that exists in this regulation about the disconnect between referring to oral medication and not referring to oral medication in the next one. The Secretary has to draw a line in the sand and say, we meant that no veteran was going to get a rating more than 20% if they were only using the hypoglycemic agent. That is not what the plain language of the regulation said.
Well,
let it be inferred.
That's what the actual language says. I mean, it drops the hypoglycemic agent. It drops it.
It does. And then it adds the phrase regulation of activities, a phrase that is not defined. And I challenge the Secretary to present to this court in supplemental authority anywhere within the text of this regulation in which regulation of activities is defined. He told you that it was defined and that it's understood what it means. Not within the four corners of the regulation. And that's what this court is reviewing. That's what judicial review and regulatory interpretation is all about. What does the plain text say? And by implication, what does it not say? And in this case, it doesn't say what the secretary is saying it gets for a free pass for the board to be able to refuse to rate Mr. Jackson more than 20%.
Well, here we have in the regulation the use of the language in the very same provision of the regulation, the use of the language in one spot, the absence of it in another. Canon of interpretation, that meant something, right?
Yes.
It meant they knew how to use it in the 20% rating. If they wanted to use it in the 40% rated, they could have added it.
And if they didn't, we can say
that's weird.
Your Honor, I'm afraid it goes beyond weird because it adversely affected Mr. Jackson. Mr. Jackson was relying upon the fact that there was no difference between the medication that he takes, i.e. hypoglycemic agent, and the insulin medication that other persons take. Everyone who has diabetes is looking to control the amount of sugar in the system. Both of these medications accomplish that. Nothing in the regulations suggests that it should be used to the exclusion. I see that I'm out of my time.
Let me see if there's any questions.
The exception's the obvious. The issue is the obvious, which is insulin through injection, the hypoglycemic agent through oral medication.
Correct, Your Honor, except that the rule in Jones is about the effect of medication. It does not distinguish between injection, and that is why, at least I understood, this matter was brought to panel.
If you'd like to take a moment to sum up, please do.
No, Your Honor, I'm thoroughly convinced that this panel understands my position.
Very good.
Thank you.
This case is submitted. Before we adjourn, though, it's our custom to step down into the well and greet counsel, so we're going to do that, and then we're going to be available for any questions.